My wife would like to send her love to all of you. She, for obvious reasons, couldn't be here today. She's recuperating. Her foot is getting better, but she won't listen. She won't stay off of it. So I think that caught up with her a little bit. And in particular, she sends love to her students, and Jada and a few of the other young people in her class. And she says she'll be back soon. Amen? Amen. All right. So today, I thought we would take a look at Luke chapter 14. Originally, I wanted to take a look at Romans chapter 7. And we had a lot of questions on last week about the Old Testament, the New Testament. What is the law? Does the law still exist? And if it does, in what capacity? I led to come back to take a look at a parable, and the parable is in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, reading from verse 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I'm sure the Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer. God, we Father, in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we humbly approach that throne of grace. Our Father, would ask that you just have me behind the cross, and that those that are listening would hear from you. And that if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that you would give them no peace, no rest, until they accept you as your Lord, as their Lord and their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So have you ever thought about how gracious God is to invite everyone at any point in time to fellowship with him? Have you ever thought about how God invites us at any place on this earth to come to his table and dine with him? Yes, God invites us to fellowship with him. God invites us to dine with him forever. So this is a very interesting parable, because all of us have received God's invitation to dine with him. And if you haven't yet already, you're receiving it now. At every place on this earth, people are invited to come to his table and dine with him. But what's interesting about this parable is, as it develops, verses 16 says, "Then he said unto them, A certain man made a great supper and bade many." A certain man. In the parable, God is the person who's sending out the invitation. God wants us, God wants you to come and fellowship with him. The host is God, God the Father. So here we have Jesus speaking, Jesus telling those listening, the God who created you, the God who gave you life, is inviting you to a banquet. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful to receive an invitation to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, because to do that is to receive life eternal. And by doing so, you're invited to a feast of love. Now, what's on the table? Well, there's the bread of life, a bread that satisfies the hunger of all men and women. There's living water that satisfies the thirst of every man, woman, boy, and girl. And there's meat, meat of the word, meat of the word of God for all to share. So now we have verse 17. "And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready." So everything's ready. The moment is set. The banquet time is now. He tells the servant, tell those who have been invited, come, for everything is now ready. God has already prepared everything for you and for me. God has prepared the meal. God has prepared the banquet table. God has done everything necessary for you and I to be saved. God has done everything for you and I to enjoy his fellowship. So he tells his servant, make the announcement. Make no delay. Make no excuse. No time for discussion. Accept the invitation. Accept the invitation now. Now, whenever a banquet was announced, in those days, the host gave two invitations. The first invitation was far in advance of the banquet. There would be a formal invitation. The reason for the formal invitation was so that the host would know how many people to prepare for. He had to know how much food he had to prepare. He needed to know how many lambs, how much wine he had to get. He needed to know how much bread had to be prepared. He needed to know how many guests had to be prepared for. Now, right before the feast, he would send his servants to all the persons who accepted the invitation to go and tell the invited guests that the banquet is ready. The time has come. So in verse 17, we see that, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were invited or bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So verse 17 refers to the second invitation. The second invitation was a reaffirmation. The second invitation was a confirmation. Yes, I will be there. Yes, I'm coming to the banquet. God invites all of us to the banquet to enjoy salvation and everlasting fellowship with him. And God is extending an invitation to every single person who doesn't know him this morning. God invites everyone to come and dine with him. God is saying, right now, The time is now. God's invitation is to every living human being. So when you hear the gospel, you should say yes. Everyone has received God's invitation. And you should accept it now, because tomorrow is not promised to anyone. As Jesus was talking to the group, he said, many will reject God's offer of fellowship. Jesus said, many will reject God's offer of salvation. But yet, he still continued to make it, even to this day. Now look at the turn of events. The banquet is about to begin. The doors of the banquet house are now open. The host is standing at the door. He's waiting for the guests. The table is set. The table is ready. The best silverware is on the table. The best dishes are on the table. The platters are filled with steak and lamb. The platters are overflowing with fruit and vegetables. The carafes are filled with wine, but no guests arrive. The guests, one by one, made excuses for not attending. The excuses were rather lame ones. They were really bad. The excuses were made up. Look at verse 18. And they, all with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, this guest had a problem with his money. He said, I bought a piece of property, but I haven't even seen it yet. Now, who buys a piece of land without looking at it first? What he was saying to the host was, I love my property, I love my money more than I love you. Do you know what that man's problem was? He didn't want to come to the banquet, and his excuse was his wealth. Then you have verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. Now this man's problem was his work. This man's problem was his business. This man was a businessman. He bought 5 yoke of oxen. Now, if you ever seen oxen, you can only work 1 or 2 yoke of oxen at a time. But this man was more concerned with running a business than accepting an invitation from the Lord. I am too busy working. I am too busy to go to church. I'm not excited about spending time with God. And this man was even worse. He says, I have bought animals, but I haven't even seen them yet. Now, who buys a car and doesn't examine it first? Who invests in a business without exploring it first? His problem was he didn't want to go to the banquet. His problem was he didn't want to fellowship with God. Then you have verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, you know, I find that very interesting. You know, I find that very interesting. Because the last man blamed his inability to come to church and to accept the Lord's invitation. He blamed it on his wife. He said, my wife would not let me come. Now, who ever heard of a woman who doesn't want to go to a banquet in high society? Who ever heard of a woman that doesn't want to go shopping for a new Valentino dress? Who ever heard of a woman who doesn't want to go shopping for a new pair of Jimmy Choo shoes? Who ever heard of a woman who doesn't want to go shopping for a new Hermes bag? Who ever heard of a woman who doesn't want to go to a hairdresser and be pampered just so she can attend a banquet with high society and make a public showing and socialize and get all the tea at the same time? What? Well, That was a lame excuse. Because women always want to go out and socialize and see the other ladies in the neighborhood. What woman wouldn't want to go out and be served such a fine cooked meal? No, his wife wasn't the problem. He just didn't want to spend time with God. So what is the moral of the parable? The moral of the parable is that there's no reason, no excuse to refuse God's invitation to his banqueting table. There's no excuse. There's no excuse to reject God's invitation for salvation. Some people are going to stand before the white throne judgment of Christ. And Jesus is going to ask that person, do you remember the sermon that you heard about the Great Supper? Yes, Jesus. Do you remember that you were invited to take your place at the table? Yes, Jesus. Do you remember how I appealed to you to give your heart to me? Yes, Jesus. Do you remember how you sat there and did nothing? Yes, Jesus. Why didn't you come? I wasn't ready. No excuse. I didn't want to walk down the aisle in front of all those people. No excuse. I wasn't ready to change my lifestyle. No excuse. I didn't want to give up all that I had for salvation. No excuse. Now, Jesus loves you, and he's inviting you. And Jesus is saying, there's nothing wrong with wealth. The Bible teaches it is the Lord that gives you the power and the blessings to acquire wealth. There's nothing wrong with having a wife. The Bible teaches that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Jesus said, many will reject God's invitation to fellowship with him, but there's good news. But there's good news. And take a look at verse 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, excuse me, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which are bidden shall taste my supper. So what's interesting is that what you have here is that the host was angry. The host was angry that people didn't accept his invitation. Now back in those days, it's not like it wasn't, you know, or is in America. If someone was gracious enough to invite you over their house and you said yes to the first invitation, and then at the second invitation you said no, I can't make it, it was considered an insult. It was the type of insult that could start a war. So I asked the question, how much more insulted should your Creator be when he extends himself, when he extends an invitation to you and me and we reject him? The Lord God loves you. The God of God and the Lord of Lords loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent his only begotten Son to be crucified, to be the sacrificial Lamb of God, so that you and I could be saved and have everlasting life. And you respond, no thanks, I'm not interested. What the host said in verse 21. So the servant came and showed the Lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So Jesus was saying, there are people out there who are spiritually poor. There are people out there who have never experienced the spiritual riches of Christ. Jesus was saying, we need to invite them to the banquet. Jesus was saying, that there are people out there who are spiritually disabled. There are people out there who are spiritually crippled by sin. Jesus was saying that there are people in the world who are living in spiritual darkness, and we need to invite them to the banquet. So what happened? Well, in verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there were great multitudes with him. It is the servant who is now extending the invitation to this group of people. Who is the servant? You and I. You and I. If you know Jesus, you are the servant. If you are born again, you are the servant. Pure evangelism. Why the highways? The highways represent the cities. Why the hedges? The hedges represent the country. The invitation is to everyone. To everyone who is a servant. You and I. What is the entree? The entree is salvation. What is the cost? The cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. Payment, the life, death, and burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I ask the question, have you been to the banquet? The invitation is being made. The invitation is yours. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm making it now. There's a table reserved in your name. Will you come this morning? All you have to do is say a prayer, a little prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross at Calvary, and I believe God raised you from the dead. I ask you to come into my heart and save me from my sins. And my friend, if you said that little prayer, you just got born again. Amen. Welcome to the family if you did. So, I invite you. The Lord, more importantly, is inviting you. If you don't know him, he's inviting you this morning. The question is, do you have excuses? Or will you do the right thing and accept the invitation? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Very straight, simple.